Shane Todd's Desert Island contains language and themes which are, well, much more appropriate than the regular Crow Pod, but still might not be for everybody.
This is Sparta!
Die, screw you, motherfucker.
Say hello to my little friend!
Dodge this.
I'm coming to get you.
You've just been erased.
If it bleeds, we can kill it.
Some motherfuckers are always trying to ice skate uphill.
It's only after we've lost everything that we're free to do anything.
When you're pushed, killing's as easy as breathing.
From hell's heart, I stab at thee. For hate's sake, I spit my last breath.
Honey, you seem to understand. I'm not locked in here with you.
You're locked in here with me.
You wasted a kid for nothing. Now I think it's time to waste you.
Okay, cocksucker. Fuck with me. And we'll see who shits on the sidewalk.
What? Say what again? Say what again? I dare you. I double dare you, motherfucker. Say what one more goddamn time.
My name is Inigo Montoya. You killed my father. Prepare to die.
All I have in this world is my balls and my word. And I don't break them for no one.
Now I have a machine gun.
Ho, ho, ho.
You're hit. You're bleeding, man.
I ain't got time to bleed.
I have the only gun on board. Welcome to Con Air.
I think you got the point.
Yeah!
Stick around.
Let off some steam, Bennett.
Your luggage.
Get away from her, you bitch!
Get her alive. You are coming with me.
I'll be back.
Hasta la vista, baby.
Anger is more useful than despair.
I am the Lord!
You are terminated.
I'll kill you with my teacup.
It's your disease, and I'm the cure.
How many men you got? Just your mother!
Shit just got real.
Come with me if you want to live.
Now you scare me.
Yippee-ki-yay, motherfucker.
I love the smell of napalm in the morning.
Fill your hand, you son of a bitch!
Get off my plane.
It's time.
Go ahead. Make my day. I never miss.
So, pretty please, with sugar on top. Clean the fucking car.
Funny guy, Sally. I like you. That's why I'm going to kill you last.
Go with God.
God's gonna sit this one out.
Now. Fuck off.
Don't push it. Huh. Don't push it, I'll give you a war you won't believe.
What are you gonna do?
I'm going to kill them all, sir.
I can understand you're very upset. Kittredge, you've never seen me very upset.
Do you want to know why I use a knife? Guns are too quick.
You've got to ask yourself one question. Do I feel lucky? Well, do you, Bunk?
Remember, Sally, when I promised to kill you last?
That's right, Major. You did.
I lied.
Barbecue, huh? How do you like your ribs?
Bon appetit.
I didn't think you had it in you.
I'm your huckleberry.
For England, James? No. For me.
You a bounty hunter?
Yeah, he's got to do something for a living these days.
Dying ain't much of a living, boy.
La iglesia dice que hay que perdonar.
Forgiveness is between them and God. It's my job to arrange the meeting.
Mr.
Bond. James Bond.
You see, in this world, there's two kinds of people, my friend. Those with loaded guns, and those who dig. You dig.
Where's Kananga?
Well, he always did have an inflated opinion of himself.
I don't step on toes, little John.
step on next.
He'll have to fill out some papers stating the medical problem.
Actually, my problem's not medical. It's psychological.
Not all night! Not all night!
Oh my God. How did you know?
Donuts don't wear alligator shoes.
Hey, you want to be a farmer? Here's a couple of acres.
Don't do it, Snake.
My name's Plissken.
I feel the need for speed.
I'm the tip. I'm what's happening. I'm blowing up right now.
You are blowing up. Right now.
Losers always whine about their best. Winners go home and fuck the prom queen.
Crush your enemies, see them driven before you, and they hear the lamentation of their women.
Next time I'll deflect all your balls.
Hey, terrorists! Terrorize this.
Enough is enough! I have had it with these motherfucking snakes on this motherfucking plane!
You're fired.
I have come here to chew bubblegum and kick ass. And I'm all out of bubblegum.
You could have at least texted me.
Much that they don't text.
This is my boomstick!
How is that guy? Cone of phrase.
Nice. That's annoying.
Welcome to Earth.
Consider that a divorce.
Take that to the bank.
I'm gonna take you to the bank, Senator Trent. To the blood bank.
It is like a finger pointing away to the moon. Don't concentrate on the finger or you will miss all that heavenly glory.
Oh, you real cool for a guy about to take a bullet.
After fucking your wife, I'll take two.
Good. Bad. I'm the guy with the gun.
Charlie, you ever play roulette?
On occasion.
Well, let me give you a word of advice.
Always bet on black.
Imagine the future chains. But you're not in it.
Eat your vegetable.
Yeah, well, I'm taller.
That's for my wife. Fuck you and die.
Martens! Ready your breakfast and eat hearty. But tonight, we died in hell!
They may take our lives, but they'll never take our freedom!
Are you not entertained?
Are you not entertained?
And you will know my name is the Lord when I lay my vengeance upon thee.
But if you don't, I will look for you. I will find you. And I will kill you.
Diplomatic immunity.
It's just been revoked.
Well, beyond the sea, somewhere waiting for me, my lover stands on golden sands and watches the ships that go sailing somewhere beyond the sea.
All right, welcome back to Shane and Todd's Desert Island here on the Crow Pod. I guess, Todd, this is basically the show where me and you sit around and talk about things that we like for about an hour, and then people disagree with us. I think we've kind of hit on a vein here.
Yes.
Yes, that's exactly it. It's hi, these are our opinions and likes. No,
no, dummy. Yours are wrong.
Yes. Yes.
Oh, man. No, the last, I don't know, I got some good feedback. I mean, it's a little bit tougher, you know, coming straight from the Crow Pod. You got to come find us on Twitter, and thank you for everybody who did.
Yes.
We also got some good feedback there on Heart and Hand when David finally, I do love, David finally published the last Desert Island Show, which if you missed it, by the way, we did our last meals.
Yes.
David finally published it, I think on Friday. And now we're doing this one today on a Monday ahead of Wednesday's Champions League tie. That, sadly, folks, this is going to kind of stand in for the regular Crow Pod as well, because David is away. Well, right now he's recording everything for Heart and Hand for the week. So I think they're doing the celebration shows, the commiseration shows, and just all the variables that they can. Like, hey, God, what a great result. And we're through the Champions League. And also, fuck me. You know, you knew it was over after the first leg when we kind of left.
Yeah. I am happy of the scoreline. That was 2-1. What a great goal by Tavernier.
Tavernier.
Oh, you're watching DAZN. That's nice. Okay.
Oh, man. So I being that this is the stand-in for the Crow Pod 2, well, I will say, folks, just, you know, because I know you guys can't do without the sweet, sweet content. There was a Watergate 50 that came out Friday, but also me and Colin, our buddy Colin there, started on Crow Pod Explains America, which I think is going to be a show much like this one that I'm going to have a hard time running out of material for. All I tried to do, or me and Colin tried to do in this first one, was explain how elections work, because Colin was very shocked to find you might be amazed at this too. We actually, in Illinois, we vote for our county coroner. That's a political position in Illinois, because of course it is.
Basically, all you're going to be doing for the first month is just Childish Gambino lyrics. That's all you're doing.
Oh, well, Colin was quite shocked to find out that the reason that we're having a competitive race for coroner is because the last one was selling unclaimed dead bodies.
Yes.
So,
right.
Not what you're looking for in your public officials, but
yes.
Oh, man. No, I went ahead and dug up. Like I said, since we're not going to be here for the Crow Pod, we're going to, not only are we going to do Onion Headline of the Week, but I'm pretty much just going to read the Onion from today, because they came out strong on a Monday morning. The first one, right up on the front, everybody's favorite Canadian, Todd, I'm sure you can agree. Jordan Peterson comforted by knowledge his fan base 95% female.
Beautiful. Yes.
He's the anti-Crow Pod.
He's one of our best exports since Labatt Blue.
God, oh man, he's awful. God, he's awful. I'm sorry. I'm sure there's some listeners out here who listen to that dickhead, but you should stop. You really should.
Yes. Yes.
He's not intelligent, and he just keeps talking until I don't, you know. Eventually something falls out that passes, but let's see. I also found a generous Airbnb host offers guest copy of hidden camera footage to commemorate visit.
Nice.
I always love the names. A generous Airbnb host Miles Kuzman told departing guests Ryan Taylor and Sadie Ferks that he would provide them with a copy of the footage from his hidden cameras to commemorate their visit, sources reported Monday.
Oh, jeez. All right. Come on, let's do this.
All right, fine.
Let's go. Let's go.
So this round on the Desert Islands, we kind of got back to the, well, I guess the nuts and bolts of what we're trying to do. We are doing our top five action flicks. To be fair, we did have to have a little bit of debate to try to settle some things in terms of what an action flick was, what kind of subcategories.
if our discussions did nothing else, it gave us three more topics that we can now do.
Yes.
Because I tied myself very much to the essence I gave myself a rule base.
Yeah.
To put my movies in. And I'm assuming that you and I are on this island together and we're like kind of pooling our resources. This is how I picture it. It's like you and I are just kind of stranded on an island. You know, each one of us is in charge of a meal at one point. You know, the other one is like, you know, getting fish or whatever, you know. And then we get these airdrops of the things we like. And it's like, I was looking at your list going, thank Christ he's here. Because there was so many things I said, nope, this isn't my definition of what this particular topic is. Because I was saying, okay, we can spawn these off into other ones, right?
Yes. Well, I didn't think about it, too, because I had to go back and ask if we were going to count cop movies without looking at the fact that you already had a cop movie on your list.
Correct.
I could have answered that question very quickly.
Right. See, but there's the overlap, okay? So my definition, like when I think of an action movie, the first thing that comes to mind is firearms.
Yeah.
That's it for me, right? So you're going to get overlap. You're going to get, because there's guns in Westerns, you're going to get kind of a Western overlap. Cops have guns. They're going to be, cop movies are going to be in there.
Todd, we should never talk about Westerns on this program ever.
No, never again. Never again. That's never. I failed. You know, this is, I failed opinion. That's how that worked.
I mean, I failed. Wasn't that 2 days after we'd won the league? That was, for sure. Yeah.
Who cared? Honestly, who cared?
God.
and I also tried to stay away from science fiction because
that was one of the things we had to discuss. I mean, I was like, you know, Alien is a science fiction film, but it is also one of the five best horror films.
Yes,
you know?
It's also a great monster movie, which is another genre that I want to pursue at some point.
Yeah, and to me, you know, as we were saying, like, science fiction is like Star Wars or Star Trek or Dune or that kind of thing. Those are science fiction films, right?
But then you have things like Tenet and Inception, which are science fiction, and they're also action adventure.
Yeah.
And I have one, and the only reason I was able to justify it in my head that this science fiction thing, which also is technically also a monster movie, we'll get to.
Yeah,
it'll be my first. It's because it was filmed in present day.
Yeah,
you know, for the time and a lot of guns, right? Yeah. You know, and for the same reason, I didn't include The Matrix into this one because. Right. It's very, very science fiction-y, but there's a lot of fucking guns.
Yeah.
So it's great, but it's not on my list.
Yeah, I just kind of went, you know what? If the first thing that popped into my head as a descriptor was action, it went on this list.
You brought up a great point, and you did some research on this, which I enjoyed.
Oh, stop.
IMDb has Lord of the Rings as an action, and I went, nah. As soon as you throw in elves, you are not an action movie.
No, it's fantasy film. You got trolls and elves and fucking shit. No, that's
fantasy. As soon as you got something called the Eye of Sarlacc, whatever the fuck that thing is, it's like, no, that's fantasy.
you just fucked Return of the Jedi and Return of the
King. Yes, I did. Film. I totally did. Does it show that I didn't read a lot of little Harry Potter books? Does it show?
All right, quick break. We're coming right back. Five action flicks from each of us here that we're going to, well, it's going to have to help us suffice as we slowly die, succumb to our surroundings on this horrible desert island that me and Todd keep getting stuck on. So we're going to come right back. All right, guys, here we go. Five Desert Island Flicks. And I just want to say quick, if you guys enjoy the programs, if you enjoy all this shit, scroll down into the show notes, hit the Buy Me a Coffee link. You can help out the Crow Pod. We are picking winners for August this month for some nice stuff from the famous. So there's two winners this month. There's details in there. You can either make like a one-off thing or you can, you know, make like a monthly debit. I think I set up. There's a bunch of different, you know, like if you only want to do $3 a month or $5 a month or whatever, there's a whole bunch of things. You click on the membership link. It tells you what all you get. But again, if you are wanting to get into the drawing for this month. I'm doing it some, but whenever me, Todd, and David get together at the end of this week for the regular Crow Pod, we will be doing the drawing for the August prizes from the Famous. So, beautiful. Todd, I'm going to let you take it away with your top. Well, I can't say top. See, that's the other thing too. I can't even rank them. I'm just picking five things. And then if you asked me to put them in order, we would have another 2 hours of programming here while I sat and thought about how to do that.
Right. So I'm going to start, and this is the one that I was alluding to, which is it's kind of science fiction-y, kind of not, but it happens present day, and there's a shit ton of guns. Ladies and gentlemen, I present to you, from Canadian director James Cameron, The Terminator.
This was 1984, isn't it?
I believe so.
Yeah. Because this is when Schwarzenegger is doing like every film. That's right. Conan comes out right then. He's in First Blood Part 2. He's in Aliens. Like everything's coming out right now.
Yes. Yes. And the beautiful thing about it is that there's so much. There's great kind of concept. The concept of time travel is really well established.
Yeah.
The game of it is portrayed very easily to understand. The acting is amazing. It has one of the best lines as well. And this one always sticks with me. It's when Sarah Connor is at work and the kid, she's having a nightmare day, and the kid puts ice cream in her uniform.
Oh yeah.
And her friend just turns to her and goes, "Hey, in 100 years, who's going to care?" Oh, really? And there's all kinds of great, car chases, there's munitions. My favorite thing is when Reese gets really sexually frustrated and he's made these detonation bombs, and he gets so mad and he's just frustrated and he's shoving these things angrily into a bag. I'm like, you just made C4. Why is this idea? Come on, just calm down, take a breath, have sex with Sarah. It'll be fine. It will be fun. It's wonderful. And this was sort of like, for me, like even having seen like Conan the Barbarian and stuff like that, for me, this was really the kind of thing that exploded Schwarzenegger onto the screen. So
yeah,
there it is. That's
I love too. The whole premise of this film is Cameron. He was doing Piranha 2, The Spawning, you know, cause nothing says horror film like The Spawning. But
correct.
Yeah, no, because they're in Italy recording that, and he gets sick and has like this fever dream about a metallic torsoed creature holding kitchen knives and trying to like drag itself out of a car explosion or something like that. He's like, you know what, that'd be a fucking good movie right there. Mm-hmm. That's it. Fuck this piranha shit. That's what I got.
Yes,
I loved it. Well, you know, to your point, whether it's a horror movie, monster movie, whatever, because, you know, he's trying to model it off of what's his name that did Halloween? Carpenter.
Oh, Carpenter, yeah.
John yeah. Carpenter. And Cameron took it to his agent, and his agent was, you're a fucking idiot. So Cameron just fired him on the spot. Like, all right.
Right.
You don't believe in me? Fuck you. That's
it. Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Oh, man. That's a good start. See, now I'm going to tell you. I made one change from my list based, when I came back and looked at it this morning, and the one I got rid of was Terminator 2. I bet you can't guess what I replaced it with, but I'm going to give you a minute to think about it, because we put the call out, as we always try to get some listener contributions in here, let's see, we got 10 or 11 responses back from people. From me putting this out last night, how many of them featured Terminator 2?
Off the top of my head, I'll say at least 80%.
It's pretty close, 40%. So it's not that.
Okay.
Gavin Rigg threw it in there. Gavin gave us Battle Royale, Terminator 2, Die Hard, RoboCop, and he assumed that you would choose Crank. I was actually kind of going along with Gavin on that one. Your list shocked me in that regard.
So Crank, yes, absolutely. It's so dumb, isn't it? And you get Jason Statham just, I gotta stay awake, don't I? Like, it's all that, right? It's like, get it in my veins. And gorgeous. And I would have, I actually would have put, and now that I think of it, I'm amazed as well that the Transporter is not on this list.
Yeah.
The Transporter is also a fucking great movie.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't see that. I can't even say I did that. I was going to say I steered away from the British ones, but that's not true either. Mm-hmm. But our friends over there, the Wrong Term Memory podcast also, this is actually a very good list. Predator, Die Hard, Terminator mm-hmm. 2.
Yep.
Total Recall and Jurassic Park.
Yep. And again, Jurassic Park is not on there because not a lot of guns and many, many, many
there's monsters. Literally a scene where Richard Attenborough screams guns. What are you talking
yeah,
about?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. There's not a lot, right? You see it off the top with a shoot. Yes. You know, great center. Yeah. Great center. But yeah.
Hey, Todd, guess what's first on my list?
I'm going to need some hintage.
1993 is Jurassic Park. Oh,
Clever girl.
This movie actually came out. It came out the week of my ninth birthday. And
beautiful.
So it came out the second week of June and did not leave the theaters mm-hmm. until the week prior Christmas because they didn't want a movie about dinosaurs killing people still out.
Right.
But then immediately after Christmas, they brought it mm-hmm. back. They were like, all right, that's enough. Let's mm-hmm. let's get this thing that's still making us like $1 million a week back in the correct. Theaters here. I mean, movie that changed, computer graphics. Somewhat for the worse because not everybody has Steven Spielberg's budget and access to the kind of people that can do this sort of thing. Mm-hmm. And also the commitment to animatronics. You know, that they still built a T-Rex. They still built the Raptors. And so, I mean, there were actual models that, you know, giant robots that Stan Winston made that they used yeah. to, which, you know, makes a difference. I keep seeing these promos for this, the She-Hulk, which yes. appears to be Harvey Birdman, attorney at law.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
Just that title, She-Hulk, attorney at law.
I'm yes. like, oh. Oh, it's so it's a lawyer for superheroes, huh? God, yes. where have I seen that one before? Man,
ladies and gentlemen of the jury,
you know, I couldn't believe. So I was looking at some of the numbers on Jurassic Park. I'm sure everybody's seen it. I don't really need to detail it. Like I said, it came out my ninth birthday. It was fucking true. Gorgeous then. Granted, Crichton. Spielberg gave Crichton like $1.5 million for the book. He's like, all right, at some point, I'm making this. Here's the money. By the way, go try to figure out a little bit more of a script, which is why, right. you know, like what Ian Malcolm suddenly lives. Spoiler, he dies mm-hmm. in the book. a drug addled. And also Richard Attenborough dies in the book because he's a lot more of a dick than nice old grandpa man.
Correct. Correct.
Yeah. But the budget for Jurassic, this shit blew my mind. And I thought that these were, certainly with the box office, I thought it was inflation adjusted, but it's not. But the budget mm-hmm. was only $63 million, okay. right? Now, inflation adjusted to now, that's about $130 million. Now, think about how much the budget is for any of the superhero flicks or any of that. I mean, almost every single one invariably is like $500 million. Mm-hmm. You know, just in the budget alone. The initial box office on Jurassic Park was $914 million, which equates to $1.874 billion.
Yes.
Just on the initial box office.
I understand it was quite popular.
Yeah. It's insane. Like, you know, because again, I saw that 914 and I thought it was, again, inflation adjusted already. No, mm-hmm. no, it was not.
yeah.
It's a crazy number, and of course, it's been re-released mm-hmm. twice now. It came back out in 2013. I went and saw it then; it was still awesome. Great. Came back out in like a limited release in 2018 with these new films. Awesome, and you know what, Todd? Mm-hmm. I think with very few, I believe only a couple, what three exceptions on our list here, mm-hmm. almost all of these spawned or were part of. A long line of films, which I think yes. is that really shows, you know, the perseverance of an action flick. Now,
yep.
every Jurassic Park since has gotten more camp and, well, and ultimately much, much, much worse with Chris Pratt and Ron Howard's daughter. not good. I will say we were watching these back prior to the last one coming out, which I couldn't go see in theaters. I was like, I'm going to get pissed off. Now I'm going to go sit in the lobby. Not going to want to do it. But we were watching back the new ones, and there's a scene in the first new one, which I forget. Right. Is that Jurassic World? That's Jurassic World.
Think so? Yeah. Yes. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Where Bryce Dallas Howard's assistant, right, for doing the horrible thing of taking care of her really shitty boss's nephews, is picked up by a pterodactyl or pterosaur, thrown into the air. They play catch with her, drop her a few times. Then, I mean, it's the most comical death ever, because what? She's attacked by, I don't know if it's another pterosaur or dinosaur, and then like the giant shark thing jumps out of the water and eats all of them.
It's a dinosaur.
It's the death that should happen to the villain of the film, not a woman who's on like 45 a year.
It is a dinosaur Rube Goldberg machine death.
Again, all because she was just taking care of the nephews of her lazy shit-ass boss who decided to run off. Jurassic Park, though, it's, you know, there's very few films that I can, like, if I'm just sat there and it's just, fuck it, I just gotta throw something on. That's always a possibility. Apollo 13 is in there. Of course, Ghostbusters, shit. And I was kind of scared right before we started that Steven Spielberg was trending. But apparently it's because he flies on his plane too much. So stop that, Steven. Knock that shit off. Todd, number two.
Number two for me is a, well, first of all, there's a lot, there's been a lot of talk about this movie. Maybe too much talk. This movie is not a Christmas movie. This movie is Die Hard.
You're going to have to sell it to me. I've never been a Die Hard fan. I really haven't. Okay. I don't know why. It's just never, it's never worked for me.
So I completely understand, and you're absolutely right. But this movie has everything in it for me. First of all, it takes you back to a time when you could just walk around an airport smoking.
Yeah.
That's something.
You could get on the plane with a cigarette.
Right. You could get on the plane with a cigarette and a gun, and people would go, hey, where are you going? Like, that's all you would have. It has something that was fairly, you know, recent of the time, talk of divorce, and that was frowned upon. And Alan Rickman as the baddie is one of the best villains on the planet, because it's Alan fucking Rickman. That's why. It's you know, cute little lines, and the quarterback is toast. All these things make it great. And what I love about this too is that everyone argued, there was a huge argument, this is not a Christmas movie. It came out in July. Yeah, but you can have Christmas movies set whenever, you know, they can be released whenever they want. They release them for the big summer blockbuster. That's why they did it. It's not necessarily, you know, it's set at Christmas. It has very, we now watch it every Christmas because it's a Christmas movie.
Oh, see, see, to me, a Christmas movie is whatever you make it, because I watch Glengarry Glen Ross every Christmas.
Yeah, absolutely. You do. A friend of mine, their Christmas tradition is Apocalypse Now. And the reason they did it is when they first got a VCR, the first movie they ever brought into the house was their dad's favorite movie, which was Apocalypse Now. And every Christmas Eve, they watch it. That's the tradition. So suck it, you know. Yeah, have that dream of a snail walking across a razor's edge. But here's the other thing too that I love about this is, like, everyone complains that Die Hard is a Christmas movie, isn't a Christmas movie. Die Hard 2 is also set at Christmas, and they never had this argument. Do you know why, Shane?
Oi.
Because it's a shitty fucking movie. It is horrible. Die Hard 2. Die Hard 2 is diarrhea in a fish tank. It horrible.
I think this is part of my problem with Die Hard is that none of the other ones are good.
No, absolutely.
They're all, like, and they just get progressively worse. Where, okay, yes, Jurassic Park, they're more camp, but the second one's entertaining. The third one at least has Sam Neill and Laura Dern back in it, you know?
Yes.
Like I said, I can ignore all the new ones. I don't give a shit. But no, none of the other Die Hard films are remotely entertaining.
No. Yes.
Agreed. I do love Well, I think Willis's first day recording, he comes straight off of the set of Moonlighting to record the scene where, like, he jumps from the rooftop as it blows up.
Like,
you're hanging out on the set of Moonlighting just to come over here and do this. Well, I think this is when everybody found out Demi Moore was kind of a cunt, because Willis wouldn't spend time with anyone except for her.
Right.
Which, you know, I mean, to be fair, at that time, can't say I blame him. You know, I mean, Demi Moore, 1987. Yeah, okay. All right. I get it.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Let's see. Now, again, Die Hard, as I said, shows up on many of the lists here. Many of the lists. We've already heard from one. But Werebear is at Red Between White. He's got Raiders of the Lost Ark. Predator again, Die Hard, Point Break, and then he went for Master and Commander, which is very good, and like the rest of these, was supposed to be a series, and then they went, okay, we're done.
Yep.
Sorry, we spent $300 million on that, but we're out, that's all. See you guys.
Hey, boss, we're ready for the next one. About that, take a seat. Listen, we love what you do. Love it. But enough with the hats.
Oh, let's go. Number two on my list. It's got to be the newest one on my list. Definitely is.
Right.
Definitely is. Relaunch, a reboot, I believe is what we call it, right? Of a franchise, a dormant franchise. Sat there long past Tina Turner showed up to help carry that story right out the fucking door.
Yeah.
Was 2015's Mad Max Fury Road.
Beautiful.
Which was the culmination for me, because it is, anytime you watch the old ones, right? And the old ones are fucking fantastic. Okay. Let's not get that wrong. Right. They're good. But you think, my God, what could George Miller do with a massive budget and actually good camera equipment, and not whatever shit fell off a boat during the war and just happened to wash ashore in Australia? And we got to find out, which is great. And we got Tom Hardy doing shit, which is great.
Tom Hardy, who I think has in his contract, I have to wear a mask.
Yeah.
You're not getting me on set unless you show me a mask, right? At all.
The advancement in the gang in this is just, my God.
It's such a great film, and I toyed with it on my list because it is so fantastic and I absolutely adore it. And I also hold a lot of reverence for the Road Warrior.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Because in all of the action that it had, and again, I kind of put this, it wasn't really science fiction. I put it more as like a period piece.
Yeah.
You know, kind of it's futuristic. And so because it was in the future, not too distant, let's be fair, because,
by the way, Terminator starts in 2029. So we got 6.5 years for that.
Yes.
To get going.
Exactly. get on it, Gates. But like when I look at, first of all, there was, even in Mad Max Fury Road, there wasn't a lot of comedy. There wasn't much comedy, but there was like, there's things you could hang. Well, you got there, got a bit of gasoline, eh? They, eh?
That's bait. That one.
Yes. That's dishonest. No. Like, so fun. So fun.
Well, one of my biggest things with this, again, with Jurassic Park, is practical effects.
Correct.
Because Miller does not like CGI at all.
And it shows.
Blow up everything. Yeah.
And that's what makes this movie fantastic. It was one of the first Blu-rays that I bought. In fact, I think it was the first Blu-ray I bought not having seen the film in the movie. I just bought it outright because I knew I'm going to want to watch this again and again and again. So.
Well, I just to the point, I went and looked up the numbers. You know, much like the Blues Brothers, famous for destroying an entire, now ex-fleet of Chicago Police Department cars. They built 150 cars for Mad Max Fury Road. 88 were still running when they got done filming.
Yeah.
So that's pretty good.
That's not bad. That's not bad. Considering as well, and I wish I could validate this statistic, but you know, in the second Matrix movie, the highway scene.
Yeah. Yes.
Where the evil twins are like teleporting their way into things with like the razor blades, and the agents are jumping on hoods, and there's, you know, Trinity on the motorcycle and everything. Right.
Yeah.
They built that highway in Australia.
Yeah.
For filming. And apparently, and I wish I could corroborate this statement, the budget for just that scene on the highway is more than the entire Lord of the Rings trilogy. That's how good the first Matrix movie was, kids. That's how good. But we're not talking about that. We're talking about, well, again, the connection is Australia. The practical effects in that. Here's the thing. This is what I love about it. There's so much great, so many great shots and moments in the driving scenes across the desert, the billowing sand and everything. What's the thing when you think of Mad Max Fury Road? What's the first thing you think of?
I mean, I'm a big cinematography guy, and the way it's like jump edited, and because I was reading this here, there's something like 2,700 cuts in the film. Right. And Miller, of course, famous, like he kept fucking with the frame speed, which is why it gets that weird, jittery, like fucking, you know, I don't know, methamphetamine kind of look to it, because he never stopped fucking with the damn thing.
Yes. Yes. First thing I start is the first thing that comes to mind is the guy with the guitar.
Oh, yes.
The convoy.
Yes.
First thing I think of. First thing.
The Doof Warrior, yes. Mm-hmm. Just, oh man, God, no! It's, I mean, it's a gorgeous film. It's mm-hmm. fucking, it's so ridiculous.
Of all the films on our list, it is the by far the most visually stunning.
Yeah,
it's there's nothing that beats that movie.
Yeah. Ah. All right, more listeners. Let's get a couple more. We'll do some more listeners. We'll do a couple more. We're going to take one more quick break and come back and finish them off here. But we got Alan Ryder gave us a big list here. Commando's got to be up there.
Yeah.
Thank you, Alan.
Okay. Is that the I had to let him go? Is that that one?
I think, yes. Yeah.
Okay.
I think so. That sounds right. No, Grant Van Lundstrom. Who's that? Can't be arse. Long time crow powder. Mm-hmm. Again, Die Hard makes his list.
Okay.
Big Trouble in Little China. Fantastic film.
And it's so great.
I don't know why I didn't. The second I saw that, I was like, damn it.
I talked myself out of it. And then as soon as I saw that one come up in the fans feed, I was like, oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I've made a horrible mistake.
Con Air. Yes. A thousand times, yes. Mm-hmm. Aliens, of course, the Schwarzenegger one, and the Matrix makes his list. So I'm okay. See, I'm not a big Matrix guy. I never got it. Never got into it. Haven't seen all of them. I think I've only ever seen the first one, just all the way through once. Nothing. Never did anything for me. Still don't. I don't care. Don't get it. I don't know.
Right.
Yeah, sorry. And also, like, we just live in that world now. So it's, yes. I mean, it's true. Todd!
Like, the last thing I'll say about The Matrix is the more and more that I open the news every day, I go, oh, so that hellscape where everyone's living in, like, the basement of Earth?
Yeah.
I'll take it. Take it.
Okay. Yeah, I see way too many references to blue and red pills going on. And exactly. I don't know the difference. I don't know which one you're supposed to take.
No.
So don't, folks, listen, don't get on Twitter and try to explain it to me. I don't give a fuck. Yep. Don't waste your time. I appreciate your efforts. Don't care. Mm-hmm. Don't do it.
This is a calcium supplement.
Okay. Fresh oil. Fuck this.
Yeah. Take two a day. Listen, here's number three for me.
All right.
And it has been mentioned. And it was, again, it fulfills so many things about being a period piece. It's got guns. It's got Nazis.
Yes. It's
got, artifacts. And, here we go. It's Raiders of the Lost Ark.
Yeah.
That's just simple. Harrison Ford. When no one thought, how is this guy going to rise above Han Solo?
Yeah.
Because we figured that's going to be it. That's the end of it. And he goes, oh, you want another memorable character they'll never be able to shake off? Okay. And it has everything. It's got like the practical effects of like guy being dragged behind the car by the whip. Alfred Molina shows up for a very brief moment.
Yeah.
The best thing of like, you know, who's the mousy guy? He gets the medallion burned into his hand.
Yeah.
And then his face melts. I want to say it's Malick, but that's not it.
It's not Paul Freeman. I'm trying to think of who else.
Right.
Paul Freeman or Denham Elliott? Mm-hmm. Paul Freeman. I can't remember who all. Yeah. Anyway. Right. Yeah.
Anyway.
John Rhys Davies. Fucking awesome. Mm-hmm.
Yep. Right. It is so good. It's not the second one, which is god awful. Like it seemed like the Sean Connery one is okay.
I like all three of them. I'm all right. There's nothing wrong with them. They're all entertaining. I don't know. This is the best on one. Feet.
Nah, I'm okay.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. This is the best one, but yeah.
Yes. Yeah. Absolutely it is. Yeah. And the other thing I love about it is someone brought this up. I think it was Dana Gould that brought this up. It is a movie where the protagonist in the film does not influence the plot line in one bit. If you think about it,
yeah,
they find, you know, it's his friends that find out the spot to bury the thing. It's the Nazis that take the thing, and then the Nazis open it up. He is really an incidental. He's the Forrest Gump of this movie. He just keeps bumping his way through it. It's like, oh, here come some Nazis. They're going to tie me to a post. Don't look at the thing. So, yeah.
Well, the great Harrison Ford moment, one of the most famous scenes ever in history, where they bring in this amazing sword wielder to do incredible, incredible trickery with the swords, and Ford with a fever just fuck this and shoots.
Yeah, damn,
like man, I mean that this guy's whole career, the biggest moment by far. Mm-hmm. But yeah, nope, that was fuck you, man. I'm out. There is one of the historical models, although of course I don't think Spielberg or Lucas have ever acknowledged who they were, but one of them what was from Rockford, well, you know, right around here in the area, Roy Chapman Andrews, who went to Beloit College up the road here. But I mean, I don't even know. You know, there's so many. I'm trying to what Carl Akeley's one. Of course, he died in the Congo there in the 20s. I'm trying to think of some of the other ones. Frederick Burnham. But yeah. No, I fantastic. Well, although again, we run into the problem of please stop making these films. It's no, just stop. We don't need them.
No.
I don't. Well, it isn't. There's a fifth one on the way now, isn't there?
I know.
Yeah.
I know. And now it's going to be like the third cousin twice removed has found his way into a museum now and has a hat. Okay.
Yeah. Got it. Yeah. Nope. Yeah, we're good. Just stop. I do believe that the South Park episode dealing with Lucas and Spielberg's want to continue raw dogging the franchises that they've created did a very good job.
Patton Oswalt sums it up quite nicely. So.
God. Next one. All right. Here's my replacement. Here's my replacement. Because I dropped. I had Terminator 2 Judgment Day, and I think Todd. I think which one goes on your list really just shows your age. That's it.
Okay.
You're a little bit older than me. Terminator goes on the list. Like Terminator 2 came out when I was 8. You know, fucking awesome, right? But I dropped it. Not only because, well, literally everybody who sent us a list had that on there, but I started sitting there thinking about it. I was like, you know what? It's one I like a little bit more. It's another Michael Crichton screenplay. I think with Ann Martin helped him write it. Okay. So, of course, you know, you got Spielberg and Kathleen Kennedy and all them in there as producers, all that usual crew. Okay. You got Bill Paxton.
Okay.
Driving a Dodge Ram across Oklahoma, running away from both Helen Hunt, Jamie Gertz, and Tornadoes.
Oh, here we go.
1996 is Twister. Fucking no question. Brilliant.
No question.
And let me, I got to explain something, because people in the UK, people, well, just not from the Midwest, right? You won't.
Yes.
You won't understand the fear involved being a young child in the Midwest, seeing this movie in a theater, because all you can sit there and think about is, my God, what if there was a tornado right now?
Yes.
It's, it pings a lot. See, a good action film, I think, should get, you know, not necessarily a scare factor or fucking, but something. It should touch, it should make you fear or fucking, I don't know. It's got to get in there somehow. And this movie, I mean, my God, the scene in the drive-in where it just rips through. Oh, holy shit. Is that?
Can I tell you a little something, something?
Absolutely.
There was a drive-in theater in Northern Ontario that had a tornado roll in while the movie was on. Please take a guess as to which movie that was.
Well, let's see. It was either Halloween or Twister, I'm guessing.
Yeah, it was Twister.
Okay.
It was Twister. It's like, it
is Halloween that they're showing, isn't it? Isn't that the scene in the drive-in?
Yes, that's exactly it. Yeah. That's exactly it.
Yes.
Yeah.
No, I mean, I remember they were going to film a lot of this in the UK and California. Thankfully, what's his name? Jean Devant was like, no. We're going to go to Oklahoma. Like, why are we doing this? Although, kind of an asshole. This is what he just left the production. He like punched a camera assistant at one point. So all the crew was going to walk off.
Okay.
Yeah, it's that. Well, not, you know, of course, I don't know if he had the idea that well, it's always going to be like cloudy and stormy in Oklahoma, because, you know, it's
correct.
Generally isn't. Our good buddy Davey down there will be able to attest to this, that no, it's usually just hot, balls ass sunny, and just you know it's bad. So they had to go back through. I think he more than doubled his sky replacement, like CGI shots, throughout the film. And of course, also famously the cow that flies by twice. It was,
yes.
Yeah. It's, yep. No, it's very good. And here's a tie in here. The film, it was supposed to come out, I think, a week or two later, but they moved it up to avoid, well, conflict or what they call cannibalization of the film by another picture coming out, another action picture, and the next one on my list when we get there that came out 2 weeks later. So if you're really, really good, if you're someone like Thomas Simpson there on Twitter, you might already know what the movie is. Don't ruin it for the people next to you if they happen to be listening to this at the exact same time, at the exact same moment that we're at in the show.
Yes.
Let's see. Dell chimes in. We're gonna get his. We're gonna take a quick break, come back for the last two. He's got, again, Big Trouble in Little China.
Yep.
Terminator 2, Young Guns, and then he's got Platoon / Hamburger Hill. His other one was Roadhouse, but he had a sleep and decided to change his mind. He swapped in Enter the Dragon for Roadhouse.
Okay.
Adding, Jesus, this is hard. Trust us.
Yes.
The very first thing in any single one of these episodes that me and Todd talk about is the fact that if we did this tomorrow, the list would be completely different.
Correct.
Every single time. Correct.
This is the movies as we think of them on the spot.
Yes. So right now, today, this is it. And honestly, I could probably make changes as we're going on the fly. And to be honest, sometimes I have on these shows. It's yes. What keeps the spontaneity in me and Todd's relationship. It's hard after all these years. One more quick break. We're coming back. We got our last two. So, yep, right back after this. All All right, welcome back into the Shane Todd's Desert Island here. So we're taking a look at our top action movies. I got we got two more here. Let's just knock them out. Callum Gordon.
Sure.
He comes in with the Blues Brothers, which made my comedy list. I'm not
yes.
Not sure. I don't know. You know, fuck it. Your list. Smokey and the Bandit. Fuck yes. Smokey and the Bandit all day.
See, that's a chase movie. That's a
movie. I thought about that. About that because I think me and you could do a whole chase car. Yes.
Yes.
And to be fair, Mad Max Fury Road is a chase.
Yeah, true. I get it. Okay. But there's still guns. Listen, listen, here's the beautiful part about this. No one's wrong because it's our rules.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. No one's wrong unless, of course, as we say, it was Westerns where no one left alive. So,
To be fair, Colin doesn't just double down. He triples down. The Longest Yard.
Sure.
Hooper. Fuck yes. Yep. More Bert. And then again, just like with his Blues Brothers pick, he goes for Blazing Saddles, which does have guns, does have fights, does have explosions. That's got all the ticks right there. I hate to say it, but I think it might be right.
Yeah.
No, our buddy there at Random Black Rain, he's got John Wick, Mad Max Fury Road, that a boy. Yeah. Escape from New York, Terminator 2. And again, his last one's going to be one of these contentious ones because to me, this is a whole genre unto itself. But he went for the Dark Knight superhero film. Because if you bring superhero films into this, it just changes everything. They should not be films that are principally superhero films. That's its own thing. Right. But his list, his law.
Yep. Nope.
I'm all right.
I'm not going to fault him on that because, again, hours you get to pick.
I'll go back to back here since I kind of teased it and movie again that the they pushed up the release of Twister and also less credit again to like a Twister that had Van Halen
right
writing its own music for the soundtrack there. Just so good.
Yes,
God,
yes,
love
yes,
the soundtrack. Yes. But then also featured Lisa Loeb and Shania Twain. So, yeah. Anyway.
Yeah. Yeah.
No, but it was the movie they moved the release up to avoid, again, one that spawned a massive series, although I have never seen, now I don't even know how many of these there are now. I honestly don't. Because I've never seen any of them all the way through past the first one. Right. I started the second one when it came out, I think about 4 or 5 years later. That's the other thing, too. It took them a while to get back onto the bandwagon of making more of these because the star came back and said, hey, babe, remember when we did that? Remember when we did that movie? We should do more of those.
Yeah.
Do more of those. But it's Brian De Palma's 1996 adaptation of Mission Impossible.
Beautiful,
which is just cool.
Yes. Like, yes,
it's very good. It's I loved the TV show as a kid. It was always on WGN. Like you get Mission Impossible, you get Smart, you get Batman, like these were all the daytime programming.
When Smart was great.
So funny. It's still fucking hilarious.
Missed it by that much. Yeah.
Well, and of course, we had the brief The 1988, sequel, I guess, television series, if you will. It's okay. Not quite as good as the original. But you get John Voight and Tom Cruise trading prosthetic face masks. Yeah. The one French bird, I forget her name. Very, very good looking. Of course, Ving Rhames and what's his name? Henry Zernzi. Who keeps showing up and everything around this. But it's just, you got your, the whole team dies pretty much right there at the beginning. They're like, oh, fuck. You get the scene where he throws the gum at the aquarium. Like, you won't like me when I'm angry.
Yes.
I mean, oh, man. And then, of course, you get the big comeback because, Cruise's Ethan Hunt is being done up, strung up on this job. By John Voight, you know, my guy. Yeah. We're back on there's a helicopter flying in the channel. I mean, come on, folks. Yeah. Come on.
Yeah.
I mean, have you seen all the other ones of these? Because like I said, this is it. I have not watched them.
I caught, we were away at a wedding, and it was one of these old time experiences where you're just flipping around the TV because you just had a TV. There was no on demand or anything. So, and then, you know, thank God for AMC, where it's like the, you know, the Fugitive / Mission Impossible channel.
Yeah.
And it was one of the more recent ones, and it was a great movie.
Yeah.
Great
movie. Well, yeah. Well, I loved it because, you know, this was all, I think it's Paramount that had their name on it, because they own like the rights to the, you know, if somebody ever turned Mission Impossible into a film. And of course, Tom Cruise, this is like right when Cruise is starting to do, well, his own shit, or calling all his own shots again. So, I mean, this was the first movie of his production. I mean, what the Paramount, he's like, guys, you know that show from the 60s that you guys own the rights to? Give me $70 million and I'll make a movie out of it. And they're like, oh, right. Yeah, Tom, that's a great idea. Thank you.
Yeah.
thank you for bringing that to our attention that we'd not done this. My Lord. Well, and plenty of this, too. Of course, our listeners back over there, plenty of this was shot down around Dumfries and Annan and whatnot. So, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Good one.
Yeah. Very good film. One. Very good film. You know, we do. We got one last. I missed one listener here. As far as I know, I think I got everybody else. So we'll go ahead and get the last one out of the way here, Mr. Smiley Face.
Okay,
a pretty good list here. Again, I like this. Although he does come in with the caveat, the important caveat of ask me again tomorrow because it'll probably be a different list.
Mm-hmm.
Nope, not wrong. Law-abiding citizen.
Very okay.
Good. Commando. Yep. Commando. Back.
Sure.
Gone in 60 seconds.
Right.
Con Air and Lethal Weapon.
For sure.
Now, I will note, Todd, I was disappointed because you were discussing Falling Down and then left this off of the final list. And I'm surprised none of our listeners, because our listeners are the kind of people that like Falling Down.
Yes. Many have been cast in it unintentionally.
Yes.
Not one day that I don't hear myself going, come on, horsey ride. We're the same, man. I rewatched it and I'd forgotten how much of that movie I had forgotten. Yeah. So it was nice and new because I owned a copy of that and I burned through it. And it's one of Michael Douglas's best work.
Yes.
It's just so... It's so great. And but I thought about it as like the reason it didn't make it on is because more often than not, and again, if it was on TV, first of all, Robert Duvall as well.
Yeah.
Wonderful in that movie. Right.
Yep.
But I had to make room for
this
one because I kind of forgotten about it.
Jean Duvall, because he's the cinematographer on this, if I remember correctly, the director. You will notice a lot of crossover in the directors and people working on these films.
Right. So the one that I thought of that kind of replaced in my head, that replaced Falling Down, was one that when it comes on TV, and it comes on a lot, it's a, oh, this is fine. Right.
Yeah.
And this is also where I went, huh, Matt Damon. The Bourne Identity.
Yes. Okay. Never mind. Devon's your last one. Then I forgot.
I swapped out, which is why you're confused right now because I wanted to. I needed to close on the thing that I needed to close on. it was tenuous. But let's talk about the Bourne Identity for a second. First of all,
I'll tell you. You go back to back. You knock your last two out here. So
Bourne Identity starts with in the same way that 2020 started with koalas on fire and then went downhill from there. The Bourne Identity starts with a guy in the ocean with a beacon flashing on him, right? Face down in the ocean. So that's not good. And just, you know, you are, it's done in such a way that you are learning with him along the way. And it's very hard these days to create a story that truly has the protagonist learning as much about themselves as the audience does, because the audience is always going to skip ahead. It's going to be looking for evidence kind of around things, and it's hard. And this kind of captures that. The sidekick, the heroine with him, is just stupidly, you know, gorgeous and wonderful.
Yeah.
perfect foil for this. An American as well. but you get to see a lot of Europe in this. There is guns. There's fights. There's him figuring out how to leave buildings and make the police look dumb. It's just wonderful, right?
And as you again, spawned a very good series.
Great series. And there's so many of the people in the Pentagon and the CIA that you just go, those fucking assholes. Like every single one of them. Yeah, who's the woman?
Brian Cox, that son of a
Brian bitch. Cox is just Brian Cox. Like he's just, there's no one better than Brian Cox. And who is the woman that's in that I always forget her name? She's in the Bourne Supremacy and the Bourne.
It's not Franka. I don't know.
I don't know.
I don't know. Look, David's the expert on women, not us.
Yes, exactly. And so, you know, he's got her in his rifle sights, and she's talking to like her. That's who I'm talking about. She's just great. She plays a wonderful empty suit. My last one, and I had to go to the panel and say, are we going to allow this? Because it technically doesn't have, it misses my criteria of a lot of guns.
But
I don't know. There are some
very, very huge guns, though. Massive guns.
Yes. Very, very big, naughty guns.
On one big floaty gun that can also kind of sink.
Yes. I am a huge like I consider that like I would never subject you to the five submarine films on the island because I'm a huge submarine film nerd. I absolutely adore them. There's no shifting it for me. I just absolutely adore submarine films. Das Boot.
Das Boot's so good.
It's just so great.
In this I want to qualify this too. I didn't pick any war films because. Right. Those are war films.
Correct. Yes. U-571.
Yes.
It's a war film. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about it.
Like a Dunkirk or any of the Coppola or fucking those are war films. I couldn't do it here.
I'll throw in Down Periscope.
I almost watched that the other night because it's been popping up on, I don't know if it's on HBO or Hulu or both. Because if it's on one, it's on both. Right. Whatever.
Yeah. Yeah.
But,
Bob Newhart's submarine commander joke. It's flawless. but here we go. Not only do you get a very young Alec Baldwin, who even then shows he's not that good with guns on set. you also get, and I can't remember who the comic was that pointed out this obvious thing, is that they have Sean Connery, a known Scotsman, performing as a Russian, saying phrases like "It's a great day for Mother Russia."
It's right. To be fair, it's right in there with this Irish accent and the Untouchables.
Yes,
in which he goes, "Yes, I talk like this."
yeah. Do you want an accent, Coach? The fuck do you think? Like he has so many quotable lines in here. One of my favorites, and I had this as my outgoing answering machine message. Give me a ping, Pishilly. One ping only, please. you know, just him saying in Russian, Buckaroo. Beautiful. It has everything you want. It has the intrigue. It's got torpedoes. It's got James Earl Jones for some reason. It is just a gorgeous piece of cinema.
For those who don't know, since Todd didn't mention the title, The Hunt for Red October.
I'm sorry. Jesus Christ. I just so much love this film. Like,
I think most of our listeners are on that one. But like I said, John DeBont does cinematography, but of course, this is John McTiernan who directed Predator and Die Hard.
Of course. There we go.
Again, it's all the same directors and producers and pretty much everything throughout all of these films.
You know what I'm happy about? Not one of us did a Michael Bay.
I'm not a Michael Bay fan. Just like J.J. Abrams, if I wanted to see a lens flare every fucking 4 seconds, you know, I could just look through my fucking windows.
Oh, bad robot.
Zack Snyder, if I wanted to see smoke coming out of a bullet casing, in slow motion in every single film that it was laughable. I think it's a Justice League one or it might be Batman versus Super. I don't know. because I can't stand the DC films. They're all fucking awful.
Right. No, I get it.
But whichever one, I think it was Batman versus Superman. Of course, he has to show a Bruce Wayne's parents die scene. It's actually, you know, like the opening credit scene. And within like 37 seconds, there is bullet casings falling in slow motion with smoke coming out of them.
Because, yes,
that's what I need. Look, I mean, at least Zack Snyder sticks to the hits. Can he direct? Absolutely not.
Yes.
Oh, yeah, I did love the Hunt for Red October almost would have gotten us. Kevin Costner is Jack Ryan.
Yeah.
But he was tied up with Dances with Wolves. And they also went to, because again, these are action films and nobody has any other ideas. Harrison Ford was also tapped up. But no, ultimately Alec Baldwin playing Jack Baldwin. So
I get it.
Yeah. Jack Ryan. I said Jack Baldwin. Jack Ryan. Whatever. It doesn't matter. No, I that's 100% one of those films. Like, it'll come on TNT on a Sunday afternoon, and you're like, oh, well, I only missed 35 minutes of it. Let's go.
Yep.
Fuck it.
Yep. Do it.
My last one. This was one, like I said, I had to check on cop movies and how we were dealing with them. But again, had I just looked at Todd's list a second time, I would have seen, Die Hard, which is, I guess, technically not a cop movie, right? I don't know, but it is. Mm-hmm. Whatever. I mean, it doesn't matter. It's whatever the fuck you want it to be.
Yes.
But I went for a film that is so perfectly self-referential that takes everything of the genre and throws it all together in this wonderful, wonderful little package. And then at the very end of it gives us Timothy Dalton getting a miniature church spire through his fucking lower jaw. the second one, the Cornetto trilogy there, Edgar Wright's Hot Fuzz, which is,
yes,
God, it's good. Yeah. I mean, it's the concept was there, that Wright wanted to come in again. What was it? Roger Ebert's Bigger Little Movie Glossary, which has this, Ebert was a fucking genius. One of the most beautiful writers ever, a man from Illinois here, of course. I think about the Eastern Illinois University. But the Bigger Little Movie Glossary details amazingly almost every action film scenario possible.
Right.
And so throughout this movie, this is Wright and Pegg sat down with this book, right, and decided we are going to fit every single one of these that we possibly can in here. So you've got the character, he wakes up and he's got to fumble around for the light switch. The minor characters know way too much information about the story.
Right.
You've got Danny, the partner, jumping in front of what's his who's the other his sidekick? Nick Frost. Yep, Nick Frost. So yeah, Danny taking the shot off of the musket rifle there, everything. Mm-hmm. So I mean, it's just, you know, rolling right down the line. Of course, the bad guys always smoke or have some other vice, but I just, the way it took, even, well, like when the swan comes back, just the driving scene where they have to swing around and throw the door open to grab the fucking swan, and then of course it pops back up, and just
it is
a beautifully shot film because it is Edgar Wright and he is an amazing director, and it is fucking ridiculous. I mean, all the deaths are just as ridiculous as you can get, one after the other.
Right.
Oh, I. Again, I don't know. This is one of those ones I can just put on no matter what. I can just throw it on.
I agree.
Doesn't matter.
And his whole sort of oeuvre of this that started with Shaun of the Dead.
Yep.
Basically any movie where he can't jump over a fence.
Yeah. Well, I love that. Obviously, the first Shaun of the Dead, it's Simon Pegg doing like the gymnastics routine over the fence. And then this one, you got Nick Frost barreling through the fence. And was it Wright wanted to make sure he looked back and stared directly at the camera so people knew it was him that did it, not a stunt man.
It's like, how much
stunt work did it take to fucking do this?
Yeah.
But no, I mean, oh God. I mean, the church falling apart and impaler, like coming through the head of Tim Messenger, the journalist, you know, like I said, Dalton's perfect in this. That is maybe my favorite Timothy Dalton role. It's so fucking ridiculous. And, you know, Bill Nighy there as the chief inspector with Steve Coogan at the beginning. I mean, it's Kate Blanchett is the masked investigator that he leaves.
Yeah.
And it's just, man, it's good. It's so very good. Go enjoy it. If you got, I don't know. I've had people on the Twitter box before tell me, you know, how they can't really get on with the Simon Pegg films. But if you like cop films, this is everything. Yeah, and then it's just hilarious on top of it.
Yes.
Five movies, five action films.
Mm-hmm.
Me and Todd.
Yeah. And I'm so glad we're on this island together because, oh boy. There were so many Sophie's choices. It was like I had quince, and I'm just like, okay, that one's got to go. That one's got to go.
That one's too long.
We
just had a listener chime in. The great scene where John Candy's spooning Steve Martin in Planes, Trains, and Automobiles. Name the movie Wrong Answers Only. And our buddy here at Teddy Bear RFC has chimed in. Crowpod on Tour as the title.
Those are not pillows. And actually, that would never happen because Crowpod was on tour. And to this day, David Edgar has not let me know what hotel room he was in. So that's how it flies.
Well, you can go track him down in Eindhoven now. He's
for sure.
Yes. Oh, man. Now, we hope you guys enjoy it. Like I said, let us know. Of course, you can always get back hold of us on Twitter if you're listening to this on Heart and Hand at some point in the next 2 to 8 weeks, whenever David finally puts it up. You can jump into the comments there. I hang around in those for our shows. So, you know, if you guys ever got questions and if you have an idea of what you would like us to do next, because I think it was a listener kind of steered us toward this one, wasn't it? Or did we go back? I think it was a listener suggestion.
It sounds like something they do.
Yeah. Our good listeners, you bastards. Yes. Yeah. Well, like I said, regular Crowpod, hopefully Friday, but we're not exactly sure because, again, David's traveling. Mm-hmm. But, you know, there was weekend Crowpod content. And also, in the Rangers from Sea to Shining Sea series, because I've been working with Gary Havlin, who I think a lot of the people out there know from the @RangersFacts Twitter account, the great Rangers history Twitter account, and an old friend of mine from the Crow, has come back to help me with this series now.
Yeah.
And we are doing a very good one that should be out, well, in a couple days here, about our trip to Portland in 1976. I've actually talked to friends of mine out there and they've gotten me in touch with people. I do have a lot of friends with the Portland Timbers little group out there that actually got me in touch with a gentleman who was at the match. So, we're talking to him tomorrow. And also, you know, just to tie in content even more, turns out Gerald Ford was in Portland the same day Rangers were. Yeah. So, you know, by the way, go listen to Watergate at 50.
Do you serve beer? I really like beer.
Oh, man. God damn it.
I also want to throw out a nice thank you to Jamie at the Jazzy 8, or the Jazzy B, I guess it is. Sorry, my eyes are broken. For helping recognize my BBC writing credit. So thank you. Thank you so much.
Where at?
Oh, I got a Terracing teaser read out during the Edinburgh Fringe episode of Basketball.
So, all right.
Yeah, it's very good. They used it to close, and I can now put on my resume I got an applause break on BBC Radio. So,
all right. Like I said, scroll down, show notes, hit the Buy Me a Coffee link if you like our stuff. It does help. This is pretty much all I'm doing right now, at least for a few weeks, sitting at home talking to you guys. So give us a hand there if you can. Again, we are drawing for the winners from the famous here later this week. So we will have that. Somebody's winning shit. Two people are winning shit, actually. Mm-hmm. So Todd, of course, you can find on Twitter at HeyIt'sTVA. You can find everything he's doing over at HeyIt'sTVA.com. Todd, what is up with you with the funny stuff?
I have got shows in the Ottawa area coming up in September and October. Hey, if you're in the Italy neighborhood, I might have some shows coming up there.
Wow.
In the fall. Yeah. Right. I don't know.
Do you do the shows in Italian, or do you just hope that they...
I certainly do not. I know. No. In fact, the last time I was there was, like, I think it was 2019. I was there. It was a September 11th show.
Oh, yeah, so that always plays well. Yeah.
That's always great time. Funny. Yeah. And as well, Comedy Above the Pub is going on. Some really, really great guests have been posted. So
good. Hell of a list there. Okay, if you don't know, Todd does another show on the regular called Comedy Above the Pub. If you like listening to comics talk about doing comedy and telling jokes while they're doing it, it's quite good. It's very entertaining. So there we go. Like I said, Crowpod stuff, more new stuff coming. If you missed stuff, there was stuff this weekend. There was content, all the content. And I've also posted in the past couple of weeks a couple of our older Desert Island shows that were only featured on Heart and Hand, because it's before I set the Crowpod network back up again. So if you like this, you can scroll down just a little bit. There's a couple more in there for you to get into. And that's it. We'll be back for Crowpod hopefully Friday. If you're going to the football, please be safe, travel safe, and hopefully we've got something to celebrate Wednesday to the tune of 40 million euros in the Champions League theme three more times at Ibrox this year, at least. So that's it. We'll talk to y'all later. Thanks again. Bye.
Some people call me the space cowboy.